It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
And hello, Radio Land. This is the crew from Explore Fairbanks, and we happen to have a couple of your crew members here. My name is Bill Wright. I'll be your host. I'm the Director of Tourism and Meeting Sales at Explore Fairbanks. And joining me here in the studio, co-host Mr. Jerry Evans, Public Relations Manager at Explore Fairbanks.
That's what my card says, yeah.
Excellent, right. A card-carrying Public Relations Manager. Yeah. I love it. And we are so thrilled today to be able to dig in deep on a subject that comes up quite a lot, and you might be surprised that it does, for me especially out in the tourism world and travel trade. It's the idea of accessible travel, and we have a perfect person who has many, many touch points with us here in Fairbanks along the tourism world, and that is the co-owner of Running Reindeer Ranch, Mr. Doug Tolley. But Doug, we're going to start off by asking you some questions about, how you got, into Alaska and your story here. But I think that our listeners will soon find out that there are lots of connections to accessibility. So, Doug, I'm going to let you tell your story rather than me try to invent it from whole cloth. Welcome, sir.
Thanks. I think the story might be better if you made it up. But I came to Fairbanks, actually kind of full circle here. I came to Fairbanks during college in 1978, working for Chuck West.
Oh, nice.
He had sold West Tours and all those West things that people think are the direction, but it's really a name.
And for maybe the listeners that aren't aware, Chuck West is like the godfather of tourism in Alaska, right?
Yeah, or the grandfather.
Grandfather, yeah.
When he was around, it was probably godfather, but now he's a grandfather.
Yeah, that's it.
But, so I worked with Chuck for a summer, and he didn't buy me a ticket home, I guess. And I've been around since 78. I just took a year off and built trails on Mount St. Helens, and that didn't work out very well because they all got moved to Spokane. And then been a teacher in Fairbanks and a tech guy at the first internet company, and worked for Access Alaska for 12 years. And that's my short story.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking to it.
Nice. And is it true founder of one of the old bulletin boards from the early days? Right?
No. Sorry. That was my business partner, Pete Stern, who passed away this year. Pete had a FidoNet bulletin board, but I was in the internet age. He was a generation before my internet.
Oh, nice. So. Okay, cool.
So I had PolarNet internet.
PolarNet, that's it.
Dial-up internet company.
Yeah, so you invented the internet.
Yeah, exactly. I invented the internet after Al Gore made it public.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about your journey through your diagnosis and how you became involved in accessibility and maybe even your time with Access Alaska.
Sure. So in 2000, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis after being misdiagnosed with multiple things at that point. At that point, my mobility was pretty good, but it's declined over the years. It's been 22 years. I consider myself pretty lucky. I still stay pretty active, but I do need mobility devices. Depends on where I'm at. I use crutches around Fairbanks. I use walkers around the house, and I use wheelchairs when I travel, and whatever works. So, tools for mobility. So I try to use what's best for the circumstance.
Sure.
So over those 22 years, my mobility has declined to the point where I can't walk unaided without falling on my face. So that's no fun.
And if you're like the rest of us in the tourism industry, we also like to travel. One of the reasons that attracts us to the industry, and so you've probably come across a lot of situations where you might think twice about going to a destination whether they have accessibility or not, right?
Yeah. So I'll just tell about my little. So when I was diagnosed with MS, you interviewed my wife, Jane Atkinson, a couple weeks ago, or last week, I don't remember when. But she was a big traveler, and I'd traveled a lot in the state of Alaska, but I hadn't traveled outside the state of Alaska. And since I was diagnosed with MS, I've been to Africa four times, and wow. Galapagos. I've been, you know, used to go to D.C., Washington, D.C. four or five times a year, and done a lot of traveling, and it's getting harder, I'll admit, but that was sort of my therapy. It was trying to figure out how to do these. We'd sort of look at my ability at the time and try to push it a little above what I was going to be comfortable with. And so, yeah, it takes some planning. It takes some, you know, talking to people where you're going to find out what your situation is going to be like. But yeah, travel has always been really important to me.
So maybe a good rule of thumb is no surprises, right? You really want to...
You want to avoid as many surprises as you can have, yeah. And it's not possible because everybody's disability and mobility disability is going to be different.
Right.
And so you'll go to Airbnb or somebody's website and they might talk about accessibility, but it doesn't mean that they really get what they're talking about. They may be just doing a, you know, a marketing piece to get people in. So it always pays to, you know, to the Airbnbs and things. You call the person and you talk to them about it. Because like a handrail, just a missing handrail can keep me from being able to stay in a place.
Right.
And so they'll say, oh, yeah, you get in here and everything's fine. But just getting in those three steps that have no handrail could be the barrier.
Yeah, something simple like that.
Yeah, and that's actually a clue there to some of the listeners maybe that have businesses. Or, you know, handrails may not matter to you. I mean, I know driving around like Sherwood Forest area, there's all those houses up there on Chena Ridge. Very few of them have handrails, and they have two or three steps into the front door, which could prevent me from visiting somebody there. Something as simple as a handrail.
Right, yeah. They might have a single ranch-style home, but then not add that extra feature.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask a question real quick, Doug? It's because the term limited mobility, that's probably a pretty wide gamut. I mean, a lot of people would think, well, it's people in wheelchairs. But then again, it could be people who, you know, utilize crutches or chairs. But it could also be just with those of us that are getting old.
Right. So I spent 12 years at Access Alaska. I was the advocacy director there, but working with a lot of folks. And one thing I discovered is us old people don't consider ourselves disabled necessarily, although we may start using canes and, you know, having issues that are, if you were 30, they'd be a disability. But then when you get older, you just say you're getting old.
Right.
But those same mobility issues that I had getting diagnosed with MS can just come naturally with age. So we may be talking here about accessibility for folks with disabilities, but it can matter for, I mean, at our Ranger Ranch, you know, we have to deal with a lot of abilities there. And an older person that needs two canes doesn't consider themselves disabled, but that may be the same solution to their ability to do a walk with a reindeer is somebody that's 30 and needs two canes. But
right,
that makes I'll just kind of bunch older folks in with folks with disabilities and some of this stuff is the same things would apply.
Well, I think it makes sense too, Doug, that that they are overlapping, and in a lot of cases, people, good or bad, they make Alaska their on their bucket list, and it's like one of the later in life things to do, and that's like you know, a recipe for disappointment is to get here and realize that, okay, now I'm older, I'm not as mobile as I used to be, and it's rugged landscape and so maybe that's where we can jump off from here and talk about kind of like local accessibility and what makes you mentioned Running Reindeer Ranch. That's an excellent example. What other features of our destination would you say from that perspective, you know, have strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, I mean, all the tour companies do different things, and some of the, you know, mushing companies do a real good job with folks with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I know Steve Vick's company, he actually had modified sleds and things. But, you know, I guess let's start at the easy things, you know, handrails. Then we keep around, you know, we do a walk. I mean, there's, hey, I hate to admit it, but, you know, I don't have the most accessible tour company in town.
Right.
But we have walkers around. We have walking sticks. We have all sorts of tools around to help people be successful. And then we modify if somebody shows up and their mobility is not enough to do the normal tour. We can modify things to make sure people have a good experience. So one thing for businesses and tourism business specifically is to make sure you have ways to modify your tour to make it so that everybody's going to have a good time and get something out of your experience. And that could be, you know, just having some aluminum walkers around or walking sticks or chairs. Chairs is a big thing. You know, make sure you have, when you walk with the reindeer, there's benches along the way so people can take a break. And, you know, and then the hand railing thing, make sure there's steps that people, if there's steps, that there's ways to get up. And again, if somebody's in a wheelchair, those steps are going to be a total barrier. But if somebody they can walk and just needs handrails, and be allowed to be successful in your activity.
Sure. And we're also a year-round destination, so there could mm-hmm. be some different challenges in the, you know, in the wintertime or even fall mm-hmm. or even spring. I'm thinking about all the mud and breakup versus the, you know, clear summer days.
Yeah, so planning a tour to Fairbanks in the wintertime adds a whole nother level because the snow is, I mean, I get kind of, the snow kind of traps me. I don't have good, my head doesn't communicate with my feet. That's what MS is basically, is you're not, your body doesn't talk to itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm walking in snow and I can't, and I step on something that's uneven, by the time my feet says, hey, adjust for this, you know, Rocky just stepped on, it's too late. My head hasn't gotten it yet.
Mm.
And then I'm over. So, you know, there's and the city is, and the borough is pretty inconsistent year, how well they do snow removal. And it can depend on, you know, finances and how much snow comes. It's really almost impossible in a situation like Fairbanks to always be totally accessible because the snow comes and goes and it just happens, you know?
Right.
And the mud.
Yeah, exactly. All of those features that other destinations may not deal with, but particularly with visitors, especially if they're a seasonal kind of location.
Yes. So I would, like the, you know, Aurora companies and stuff, I'd make sure I called them if, you know, I was coming to visit Fairbanks. I'd call them and talk to them about what they do. And, you know, some of them probably stay close to the vehicle. Some probably go walk them and just find out the company that most understands your needs and go with those.
Yeah, I think that's a good takeaway that I would take from just even your initial comments, that calling ahead and talking to a person, you know, not relying on the marketing materials to tell you the whole story.
Yeah, and ask specific questions of them I tell people, actually, I say, here's my deal. I use forearm crutches. If you've got stairs without railings, I can't get up them, and, you know, which is most of the time, not all the time. If they're big, wide steps, I can work my way up. But, so ask specific questions of places you're staying and places you're going and places you're visiting. I mean, the easiest places for me to travel to is maybe besides the air travel pieces, like Washington, D.C., and a place where I can rent a little mobility scooters, and it's a pretty accessible commute town. So,
yeah,
I would never want to live in Washington, D.C. or other cities, but I definitely like enjoy visiting them because I'm free. I have freedom there.
Well, I'm going to. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, and last year, a year ago, I was in Armenia. I went to Armenia on a contract to do disability policy work, and So there was a totally unknown and a place that I couldn't find out a whole lot about. And I couldn't really talk to people because I didn't speak the same language. But I was with a bunch of folks with disabilities, which made a difference. And, but yeah, that was, you know, just one thing I try to tell people when I talk about accessibility and how to make a business accessible and how to travel to an accessible place is I tell people, don't be a jerk, you know, try to understand each other. It can be expensive for a business to be, you know, make all the ADA changes. You know, everybody needs to give each other a break and work together to make the, somebody's trip successful.
All right. I'm going to cut in here real quick because we're about, we call this halftime in the radio world. And you've been listening to Explore Fairbanks here on KFAR, the Heartbeat of Alaska, with Bill Wright and Doug Tolley. We've been talking a lot about traveling with limited mobility. But since this is on KFAR and we're speaking with a lot of locals, we'll, when we're back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the programs and resources available to people to help them get around Fairbanks a little easier, whether you're a visitor or whether you're a local. We'll be back right after this quick commercial break.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
This holiday season, experience the magic at Running Reindeer Ranch. Gather your friends and family for an unforgettable adventure right here in Fairbanks. Picture this, walking through a winter wonderland surrounded by majestic reindeer, their hooves clicking in the snow. Get ready to watch reindeer games as you learn about how these furry friends are adapted to life in the Arctic. And there's plenty of time for reindeer hugs and selfies. Make this season unforgettable at Running Reindeer Ranch. Book your spot now at runningreindeer.com.
Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
All right, we are back here with the crew from Explore Fairbanks, Jerry Evans, Bill Wright, and we're speaking with Doug Tolley, which, Doug, it's now's a good time to mention maybe that you are the incoming chair for the board of directors for Explore Fairbanks. Did I have that right?
That's right. So that's awesome. May be talking about accessibility and tourism a little more on the board at Explore Fairbanks here.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. That's excellent. And you know, as Jerry mentioned before the break, we're going to kind of get a little bit into the different resources that are available here for traveling with limited mobility in the interior. And I have just a quick little story to tell myself because it has to do with like visiting friends and relatives. And that's a category of visitors here in Alaska. And my 85-year-old mother joined us last year for my daughter's graduation. And first thing that I had to find out was, okay, one thing, we're going to need, you know, accessibility, and we're going to need a chair for her to get on and off the aircraft in Seattle and then here in Fairbanks. And then, you know, once that happens, you can't necessarily take that chair from the airport because it belongs to that facility. And so I hunted around and was able to find a walker and a chair that, you know, of course you could always pack your own, but that seems cumbersome. But I got over to Access Alaska, and sure enough, they had a selection of wheelchairs, walkers, lots of choices for me to equip my family for that, what turned out to be a great visit. So that's a good jumping off point then, Doug, for maybe about what the resources are here in Fairbanks and how people can take advantage of those.
So that's the main one for people traveling is Access Alaska and their durable medical equipment loan closet. So it doesn't, I haven't worked there for a while. I think it doesn't cost anything still.
Yeah, it was all they asked for was a donation, which I gave them a hefty donation because I thought it was such a great program to have.
So that's actually my main recommendation if you have folks here, because probably what you're going to need is mobility devices or whatever, and they've got them there. And since you mentioned air travel, you know, my disability has progressed, and part of it is kind of psychological. You know, you get to the point where you need a cane, and it's like, I really don't want to get a cane. That'll make me look like an old man. And then you get over it, and it's like, oh, man, I should have had a cane years ago. And anyway, airplane travel was one of those things for me. It was, I had a job. I was at Access Alaska. Our main office was in Anchorage, and I was going to Anchorage quite a bit. And but air travel was becoming really hard for me until I learned to check the check boxes that I need wheelchair assist. And I'm going to add a little to that now. And that now people have started scamming that system.
Oh, no.
I was actually talking to an American Airlines pilot, and he called it the Jetway Jesus. And people would get on the airplane in a wheelchair where they, and then go down the jetway. Then all of a sudden they were cured when they got to the airplane. And when they get off the airplane, there's two people needing wheelchairs. There's 10 getting on and two getting off. And that, you know, that makes me, I need that to be able to travel. And if people are taking advantage of that, it makes it harder for me to travel. So, you know, again, don't be a jerk.
Right.
Think about those that actually need it. But
well, that's right. That's right there with the handicap parking too, because a lot of people think that, you know, it's
nobody's going to use it.
Yeah, nobody's going to use it. So many places. But my mother was 98 years old when she just passed, and we needed a lot. So
yeah, And when I first was diagnosed with MS, I could get out of my car and I looked fine. You know, I'd go in the store, go into Fred's and do my shopping. And then by the time I was done, I was barely walking. And so people would give me a dirty look when I get out of my car and, you know, but, you know, so again, don't be a jerk. You know, don't take advantage of that parking. And if you see somebody using it, just assume they need it for some reason.
Right. Think the best of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Think the best. That's, I've used the wheelchair, you know, assist all over the world. Obviously, I mean, you know, I was in Armenia last year, and most airports are pretty have gotten over the years. It's changed a lot in the last 20 years, but it's pretty seamless now. I don't like to call out names of places, but Seattle is one of the most difficult places there. The wheelchair assist is not managed by the airlines themselves, except I think Frontier does.
Oh.
But Alaska Airlines subcontracts it, and Seattle, I've had the pilots push me off the airplane because the folks that are supposed to didn't show up. But Alaska Airlines has been really good. But it definitely makes travel easier. And then again, this is for going other places. This doesn't help in Fairbanks much, but I rent a mobility scooters, which a lot of folks do. And there's companies that will, you get off the airplane, you get in a wheelchair, they take you to the car rental or the taxi cab place or the Uber place and get in your ride, and you get to your hotel and there's a scooter waiting for you if you've set it up right.
Nice.
And then you leave it there when you leave, and it just makes it very, very straightforward. So most big cities, if you travel to, you can get that kind of service.
Well, now, Doug, we've been talking a lot about big cities. Yeah. Let's bring it home just a little bit more, because we're on KFAR, so we know we have a lot of large and small businesses out there. And there are certain things that are out of their control when you talk about limited mobility. You know, some of it lies on the borough, some of it lies on the city. But if you're a small business owner, you know, there are probably obvious things that you can do, but are there any some of the smaller things that would make it easier in businesses and make it easier for people to frequent businesses with limited mobility?
So I mentioned handrails, you know, so you eliminate as many steps as you can, you know, and if you can't eliminate it, make sure there's at least ways for people to get up them without. My grandmother actually had polio, and back, 1911, she had polio, but she had no muscles on her right side, and she couldn't get up steps without hand railings either. So it's been a long time that's been a problem. The other thing is that we haven't talked about is bathrooms, and that's on airplanes too. But local businesses, you know, if somebody takes a while to get to a bathroom, or it's not an accessible bathroom, doesn't have handrails in the bathroom, that can be an issue.
Sure.
The one we don't want to talk about, but huge thing on you go to some place and there's no restrooms around. The other things for local businesses is it can just if you're traveling here, talk again to the business and then talk to them about what they can do to help you be successful at their attraction or in their business. You don't normally call a restaurant and ask them that stuff, but it can be helpful.
Absolutely. Do you know, Doug, and that's the thing, is there are quite a few restaurants that I've seen move toward the, the higher chairs and the higher tables. That, of course, limits access as well. Do you know what this, this must be a growing issue, especially with aging boomers and so on. Do you know any of the statistics about the growth rate of people needing more mobility access?
No, I don't. I started looking that up last night. I got off on a rabbit hole and started looking at other things.
Sure.
I can't tell you the number, sort of the rule of thumb number of folks in the United States that experience a disability of one sort or another, this isn't just mobility, is about 18%, around 18%.
Okay. That's significant.
So that's cognitive disabilities, mobility issues, PTSD, different, head injuries, those kind of things. So, but it's a pretty good sizable population. And if you're in a business, that's a good hunk of people, having an accessible place that increases your business by 18% may be worth, some money.
That's right. This is a even just that to leave that at that this is a subject that can continue to evolve. There may be new ideas and opportunities out there for businesses as well as individuals and travelers. Not just in Fairbanks, but all over the world. But I would encourage listeners to do more of that investigation and learn more about what options there are out there, because one day we're all going to be, at a point where we're going to need something.
If you're lucky.
Exactly. that's right. Yeah. So that being the case, Doug, where can people get more information about this? How would you direct folks to learn more about the subject?
I'm going to stick with Access Alaska right now, because there's various organizations in town in Fairbanks that work with folks with disabilities, but Access Alaska is what's called cross disability. So they don't specialize in a disability. Access Alaska works with people with low vision. We didn't talk about people with low vision and hard of hearing and deaf folks. That's a whole nother, line of accessibility,
yes.
But Access Alaska works with folks with mobility issues and cognitive issues and vision issues and everything. So, they're a good place to start. They have people there that you can talk to. Theoretically, 50% of the folks that work at Access Alaska experience disabilities, so you can talk to somebody about their experience.
That's good to know, too. So accessalaska.org is that website where folks can get the information. And I think we're about out of time, Doug. So thank you so much for bringing this subject to light. And you're an excellent person to talk to about it. And we look forward to your role as the chair of Explore Fairbanks and being a great partner with Running Reindeer Ranch. So happy holidays to you and yours. And Jerry, any last words as we wrap things up here?
Would just like to express the same thing. Happy holidays to everybody out there.
Yeah,
happy holidays.
Okay. Thanks, Doug. Have a good one.
Hey, sure. Thank you a lot. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Explore Fairbanks here on KFAR. To find out more about Explore Fairbanks, just go to explorefairbanks.com. And these and all of our Explore Fairbanks shows are available you can
archive.
Mm-hmm. Archive. So you can go to KFAR.com, I believe, to get in touch with those. So thanks again for joining us on Explore Fairbanks, and we'll check back with you again next year.
You have been listening to Explorer Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explorer Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.